Find Psalm 85 in your Bible. And I told you this morning, as folks, as we were bringing the service to an end, I told you that I felt like God at the end of this week was kind of changing my direction of the message that I was going to preach on Sunday night. I had been in a series, and we, Lord willing, or if God directs that way, we'll get back to that. But I wanted to kind of take a pause from that series that we had been doing, the thought of things that matter in our lives as Christians and things that ought to matter in our church. And I wanted to take a few of the Sunday nights that we have here that are leading up to our revival and preach some messages to help us to get ready for this revival that we are looking forward to. And I am excited about this revival that's taking place. And I'm trusting that God is going to do a great work in my heart. That's first and foremost, that God would do a work in my heart. And we'll talk about that in the message tonight. And then that He would do a work in the hearts of those that are in my family. And then He would do a work in the hearts of those who are in our church here. And it would even affect our area. And we would see great blessings as a result of this revival. And we've had this revival on the schedule for a long time and been looking forward to it. Brother DeGard being able to be with us, and he's traveling around. I know he had a little bit of a gap in his travels there in the spring and the summer months, but he's back on the road pretty much regular now, and going to be nearby us as he kind of approaches our church here in November. I think he was out in the Midwest for a little bit, and then he's going to be nearing the Pennsylvania area and then coming towards us. And so looking forward to him being here as family, as they're going to provide the special music for us, and they're going to have those special children's meetings, and so we're going to work to try to even see if we can get children here for the services as well. But we want this revival to be a blessing, and we want God to stir us. I know we pray for revival, and I know that's been part of our prayer time, and we want this revival to be a great blessing. And so we're going to look at Psalm 85 tonight, and I want to give us tonight some steps that lead to revival. Some steps that lead to revival. And I want us to notice the majority of this tonight in Psalm 85. But we want to preach that tonight, some steps that lead to revival. And we'll get to Psalm 85 here in just a moment. And that's going to be the passage that we'll stay in for most of the message. But few of us probably would be able to say that there's been a time, few of us would probably be able to say that there's been a time in which we've seen a large-scale revival. Now, some of us might be able to give testimony of saying there's a time where I've seen a revival on a small scale. I remember when I was in college, I had the opportunity the last 2 years of my college time, of being in college, the years I was in college, I had an opportunity to work in a local church there in the city of Pensacola. And they gave us a list of all these churches that were inviting the ministerial students to come. And we had a little time where we could meet the pastors and the staff members. And they kind of picked a few of us, each of the churches. There were so many good, solid Baptist churches there in Pensacola. And we kind of were scouting out which one we would like to be a part of based upon the ministry needs that they had. And I picked a church, and it was right on the North Pensacola Boulevard there, just a few minutes away from the campus. And it was called Smyrna Baptist Church. At the time, the pastor was Roy Julian, and since then, he's gone to be with the Lord, and there's another pastor there now since I've been there. But I remember one time we were there, and I believe it was my junior year, because we were there. I was there. I helped there my junior, my senior year. I remember we had a revival, and I tell you, it was a meeting. And it was a blessing. We saw souls saved, a great number of souls that were saved. And the lives of Christians really stirred during that meeting. And I remember talking to my friends at college there, and I said, man, I don't know that I've ever been able to have an opportunity on a small scale now to experience revival quite like this. I mean, it was a great blessing. And so some of you might be able to give testimony of that. And I know we've had many revival meetings here in our church and ways that the Lord has stirred our heart. And you say, man, I can experience, or I can go back and give testimony of maybe on a small scale where I've really experienced a revival. You know, some of us may have times where we've read about great revivals that have taken place. Again, maybe we've experienced it, but some would say, I've read about some great revivals that have taken place. And those experiences that we've had in our lives, whether we've been present in the midst of a great moving of the Lord in a revival meeting or revival services, or reading about these great revivals that have happened in the past, that's just enough. That's just enough to make us really long for the Lord to do it again, isn't it? I mean, it's enough to say, man, if that can happen and we can experience things like that and we can read about the time in which God's hand really moved in the midst of God's people, that's enough to make us really long to say to God, I'm just yearning to see you do that again. And that's exactly what we want. We want to see God give us a great revival in these revival meetings that we're having. It's not that we have to have a revival meeting now to have revival, but it's exciting, though, that we have this special guest speaker coming and his family to be a part of this revival meeting that we're having and looking forward to it and wanting God to do a great work. So what would we say revival is? Well, revival is just really renewal, isn't it? We talked about revival, just giving God giving us new life. Just a restoration. Maybe perhaps we've grown a little cold. Just a fresh inflow of the love and the power of God and a movement of the Holy Spirit in the lives of God's people. That's what we want, don't we? We want God to move and we want God to give us revival. And why is it that Christians need that? Because sometimes Christians can faint in the work, can't we? Sometimes we can get a little bit cold. Sometimes we can kind of just get used to where we're at. Sometimes we can be just content with the status quo and just kind of comfortable where we're at. Remember that saying or that little statement that we put in the bulletin last week about revival? If we're living in a place where we're content without revival, we won't have it, will we? We've got to move past being content without revival to move on to say, I want God to do a work, and I want him to refresh me and give me that new life. And so it is possible, obviously, to have revival, and we want God to do that. So what are some steps that we can see here in Psalm 86 that would lead to revival? I want to give you a couple words. Matter of fact, I'm going to give you five words tonight that God has put on my heart. And again, we're going to use this passage for the majority of it, but five words that God has put on my heart tonight. And I want you to see these as steps that lead to revival. So Psalm 86, I'm sorry, have I been saying Psalm 86? I meant to say Psalm 85. So if you find Psalm 85 there, one psalm over, and look down, if you would, at verse number six here. So Psalm 85 and verse number 6. The first word, and maybe you're going to write these down, but five words I'm going to give you. And so just as we think about these steps that will lead to revival, the first one is this. I want you to think of the word determination. Determination. The first word, determination. Is there a determination in your heart to admit the fact that you have a need for revival? You have a determination in your heart that you would be able to admit that you need revival and a determination to allow the Holy Spirit to move and work so that revival may come. Look at what the psalmist says in verse number 6 here of Psalm 85. He says, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" The question we want to ask ourselves tonight is this: do you need revival? Do you need revival? We're stressing the word you because we want to make it personal, don't we? We don't want to say, do we need revival? We want to say, do you need revival? A personal thing. And would you determine, would you have a determination in your heart to say, I'm going to admit that I need revival? I do need revival. And I want to admit and be determined and have a determination to allow the Holy Spirit to do a work in my heart and to move in my heart that revival may come. The psalmist's prayer that he gives here in Psalm 85 was a confession of need. The psalmist is saying, there is something that I need. And it was when he felt the need that he began to pray. Think about the condition that's mentioned in the verse that we have been quoting and trying to memorize in the month of October. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people. That's the condition. God wants to give revival, but we've got to come to a place where we acknowledge that we need it. And we acknowledge that we need it so strongly that we go to God and we're asking Him for revival. We're confessing of our sin. Is it that in your heart you feel the need for revival? Think of the need that we have for revival. Think about it in a couple different ways. Number one, the need that we have for revival in the outside world. The world around us, how this world needs revival. I was thinking about the statement I mentioned this morning that Miss Betty said to me of how she's thinks of the things that are going on in our country today. And I mentioned to her, if you didn't hear me say it this morning, I mentioned to her, I would assume, Miss Betty, you probably never thought that the things that you're experiencing in the day you're living today were things that you would ever even have thought would have taken place in our country. And she acknowledged that. You know, we live in a time in which our outside world, the world around us, is in great need of revival. Lost souls are in need of coming to Christ. The Bible even talks in the book of Ephesians how there are multitudes that are without God, and because they're without God, they're without hope. And so the world, the outside world around us, is in need of revival. Would it be possible, obviously, with this revival that we have coming up, for lost souls to find hope in Jesus Christ when these meetings are taking place? Sure, the outside world has a need of revival, don't they? I know Brother Terry gives testimony to the fact that a revival service is when you got saved. And so I know revival is just really near and dear to his heart, because that was the time that God used the gospel to speak to his heart. The outside world needs revival. The outside world needs to come to Christ. But how about in the church as well? As a church, we need revival. And why is that? Because a church can get to a place where it lacks spiritual power. And so a church is in desperate need of revival as well. But then we want to narrow it down individually, don't we? We as individuals, that's why we ask the question, do you need revival? We as individuals are in need of revival. We can get to the place where we're powerless. We're not experiencing the power of God like perhaps maybe we used to. And by the way, it's not because God's power is not still available. It's because we're not into the power source perhaps like we used to be. We as Christians can become powerless. We can get to the place where we're failing and having shortcomings frequently. We can become ineffective in our testimony. And we can get to the place where we're inconsistent in our walk with God. We talked about that this morning in our men's Sunday school class, just developing consistency when it comes to our walk with the Lord. And we narrowed that down to a specific subject this morning when it deals with our prayer life. We can have times where we become inconsistent. So we as God's people individually need revival as well. So revival is a personal need, isn't it? And so we have to come to a point where we make a determination. I need to admit that I need revival, and I'm willing to allow God's Holy Spirit to work in my life and work in our midst so that I can experience revival, because it's a personal need that I have. There will never be a revival like we desire until there's a determination in our hearts to admit our need and to allow the Holy Spirit to work. Otherwise, we're content without it, aren't we? Otherwise, we're content without it. So is there a determination in your heart to admit, I need revival, I need to allow God's Holy Spirit to work? But then look at the second word. The second word tonight, the first word, determination. The second word, anticipation. Anticipation. Some steps to get us ready for revival. Number one, determination. Is there a determination in your heart to admit that you need revival and allow the Holy Spirit to work? But number two, anticipation. Are we anticipating revival with a true belief that it is possible? Revival is possible today, isn't it? But do we have an anticipation for revival with a true belief that it is possible? The psalmist was. He had a true belief that it was possible. Notice what he says in verse number 1 of Psalm 85. Look at verse 1. He said, Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin, Selah. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. 6 different times. Verse 1, 2 times. Verse 2, 2 times. Verse 3, 2 times. The psalmist is reminded of what God had done in the past. Remember, we talked about how God's grace helps in the past, it helps in the present, and God's grace is sufficient for the future as well. The psalmist is reminding God of what he had done in the past. Notice in verse 1, 2 different times he says, "Thou hast done this, Lord." Verse 2, he does it again 2 times, "Thou hast." Verse 3, "Thou hast." He says it 2 different times. The fact that God had sent revival in the past, that he had worked in the past, was a good example, was a good demonstration of the possibility of anticipating it in the future. If God has given revival in the past, what makes us think he cannot do it in the future? But there are some that will get to a place where they will not admit that a revival is even a possibility. They'll come up with statements like, "Well, we'll never see it in my generation." You probably perhaps heard people say that. "We'll never see it in my generation," or, "Well, we're too far gone for that. We're too far gone to be able to see revival." Can you take your fingers there in Psalm and turn to Psalm 138? Psalm 138, and notice what the psalmist says. Psalm 138 and verse number 7, that would certainly be an answer for the crowd that would say, "Well, we'll never see it in my generation," or, "I can't anticipate it now because we're too far gone." Look at what the psalmist says in Psalm 138 and verse number 7, just the very beginning of the verse. He says, "Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me." Would you say we're at a place where we're walking in the midst of trouble? Would you be able to say that about the world that we live in today? We're walking in the midst of trouble. Perhaps we could even say trouble's on every side of us, you know, with the things that are going on around us, and not just necessarily this election coming up, and not necessarily even just the virus that we're facing right now. But as a whole, we think of the trouble that is around us. But what did the psalmist say? In the midst of trouble, I have a confident expectation in the possibility that God can still send revival. So I ask you tonight, do you anticipate revival? Are you anticipating revival? Do you feel like it's something that is possible? So number one, we have to have a determination to admit our sin and allow the Holy Spirit to work so that revival can take place. But then number two, to have an anticipation, to believe that it is possible. It's something that God can do, and quite frankly, I'm looking forward to seeing Him do it. That's the anticipation. I'm looking forward to seeing God do it. Just like perhaps when you were a little child and you really were looking forward to something. Man, sometimes my wife and I have said this. We regret the fact that we even told the girls something was coming up because that's all they talk about. Man, when are we doing this? Well, that's like 2 months away. And so the next day, when are we doing this? Well, we're 1 day shorter than we were yesterday, but it's still about 2 months away. And we're thinking, man, that was the most horrible thing we could have ever done to told them this was coming up, because they're asking us every single day. Why? They're anticipating it. Man, they're looking forward to it. Just like you were maybe perhaps when you were a child and you were told you were going somewhere the next day. Man, you had trouble sleeping even, didn't you? Man, just couldn't wait to wake up. And just anticipating that day to come. Well, I don't know. Maybe some of you do it even now. Maybe some of you say, "Oh, something exciting's going on tomorrow," and you're up all night long tossing and turning, waiting for something to happen. But I remember when going on a trip, or, man, we were told as a kid we were going to an amusement park. Man, I tell you, I was excited to look forward to the next day, or if we're going on a trip to the zoo, or certainly if we were going to go to a ball game or something like that, just looking forward to it. God wants us to anticipate some things. He wants us to anticipate His coming. Man, we're looking forward to that. But let's anticipate revival. Man, let's look forward. Again, let's not just be praying for it, but understanding that it is possible, and I'm anticipating. I mean, I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait to get to experience this in my life individually, our church as a whole, in my family. I'm anticipating it. So number one, a determination. Number two, an anticipation. But then number three, a preparation. A preparation. Are you preparing yourself for revival? Hey, we're a couple weeks out now, aren't we, from the revival meeting now. Now again, we don't have to have this meeting to have revival, but we're kind of centering in the message about this meeting that's coming up. Are you preparing yourself for the meeting? I want to give you a couple thoughts that we want to remember when it comes to preparation. Maybe you can consider these tonight. And right here in our text, we're going to look at these. Number one, I want us to remember the source of revival. I want us to remember the source of revival. As we're preparing for revival in our hearts, and as we're anticipating, and as we've made a determination to admit our sin and allow God to work in our lives, let's as we're anticipating, as we're preparing, let's prepare understanding who the source of revival is. Notice what the Bible says in verse 6. We're in verse 6 again now. It says, "Wilt thou not revive us again?" Who is the source of revival? Thou. Who's thou? That's God, isn't it? Revival comes from God. He's the source of revival, isn't he? He's the bringer of revival. And so revival comes from God. It's not something that's worked up, but it's something that's sent down from God. He is the one who is the source. And when we look to God, we can receive what God can do for us. We're looking to Him for revival. It's not that something we're going to be able to stir up on our own. It's not something we're going to say, well, we're just having an evangelist coming in for a revival meeting, so automatically we just assume we're going to have revival. No, God's the source of it, isn't it? Isn't He? And He's the one that's going to bring this revival. Look, now we're in Psalm here again, but look at Psalm 62, and back to Psalm 62, and look at verse number 5. So Psalm 62, and verse number 5, it says this, the psalmist says this, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him." I'm not expecting revival from any other source. I'm expecting revival from God. And so in my preparation, I need to, number one, remember the source of revival. As I'm preparing my heart, the only one that's going to be able to bring me revival is God. So number one, I'm remembering the source of revival. But then number two, remember the start of revival. So number one, remember the source of revival. But number two, remember the start of revival. Look at what the Bible says in verse number 6 again of Psalm 85. "Wilt thou not revive us again?" Where does revival start? Well, revival starts in the hearts of individuals. Revival starts in the hearts of individuals. I once heard it this way, and I think it's so true. Revival doesn't begin in groups, but it begins with individuals. So, a couple key words in there. Revival doesn't begin in a group, but with an individual. In an individual's heart. And so where does revival start? It starts right here in the heart. And we've got to get ready for it, don't we? We've got to get prepared in our heart for revival. Ready and prepared for the blessings that God wants to send. Ready and prepared for the work He wants to do. And that all starts right here individually in the heart. It's not saying, "Well, I sure hope at the revival meeting so-and-so from the church gets revived." It's about us individually experiencing the revival that God wants to give us. So who's the source of revival? It's God. Where does it all start? It starts in our heart. But, number three, remember the stumbling block of revival. What is the stumbling block of revival? Notice what the Bible says in verse number 6. Of Psalm 85 again, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" That little phrase of thy people rejoicing in God indicates the thought of fellowship. Walking with God. An agreement with God. And how do we fellowship with God? How do we walk in agreement with God? How are we walking with Him the right way? That only comes from being right with God. So what is the stumbling block that stands in our way, in the way of revival in our own hearts? The stumbling block is sin, isn't it? Sin that is there. Sin that stands in the way. Would you say tonight, as you're preparing for revival, I know it's a couple weeks off our meeting at least, but as you're preparing for revival, would you be able to say, I'm right with God? Are you right with God? Have you confessed the sin that perhaps is in your life? Is there sin in your life? Are you living in disobedience to the Lord in any area of your life? If so, we have to remove the stumbling block of that sin so that we can experience the revival that God wants to bring us. Remember the verse we're memorizing? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. And by the way, turning from our wicked ways requires humbling, doesn't it? And so that's why in 2 Chronicles it says we've got to humble ourselves. And to humble ourselves, we need to remove the pride that's associated with that stumbling block of sin that we have. To say, God, there is a problem. God, I've got to confess it. I've got to remove it. Remember what we've been talking about on Wednesday nights, the difference between pride and humility. A prideful person doesn't acknowledge their weakness, that they need no help, but a humble person acknowledges there are some weaknesses. I need God's help. And we humble ourselves and say, God, there are some areas in my life where I perhaps am not living in obedience to You the way I ought to. Right now I would say I'm living in disobedience, perhaps in an area of my life. And Lord, I've got to make that right. So as I prepare for revival, there's not a stumbling block there that stands between me and the revival that I desire. Then number four, the source of revival. And then we talked about the start of revival, and it starts in us. This is all with the preparation of revival. And then we talked about the stumbling block of revival, but then remember the secret of revival. The secret of revival. Look at what it says back to verse number 6 again. Wilt thou not revive us again? Wilt thou not was the prayer of the psalmist, wasn't it? The prayer that the psalmist offered to God, wilt thou not revive us again? Now I want you to listen to a statement, because I want us to understand this about prayer when it comes to revival. I know we're going to have the revival meeting where the preacher gets up here and preaches. I understand that that's going to take place. But revival is not connected as much to preaching as it is to prayer. We have to remember that. That's why we prepare ourselves through prayer. So that when the preaching takes place, we've prepared ourselves. We're ready for that meeting. So don't think of revival as being, well, I'm going to show up for the services and there's going to be some preaching that takes place, and automatically because of that preaching, the revival will start. It's not connected to preaching as much as it is to prayer. Let's spend time praying passionately for revival. Praying, believing that God can give us revival. That goes back to the anticipation. We're anticipating that God can give us revival. Pray urgent prayers to the Lord, asking Him for revival. Revivals are always preceded by prayer. That's why we have to spend time praying to lead up to this revival, preparing for this. That's why we're going to have those special prayer meetings here at the church, if you're able to be here and you're able to be a part of that. We're doing that because we know that prayer precedes the revival. What does it say in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, 14, the verse we're learning? If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and seek my face. God desires that we seek His face. What precedes revival? Prayer. Preaching is not connected as much as prayer is. We need to spend time praying in preparation for revival. But then word number four tonight. Word number four, determination, we said, anticipation, preparation. But word number four that steps to revival, participation. Participation. Again, I know it's a couple weeks out, but Would you do your part to participate in the revival? You say, well, how can I participate? Well, a couple weeks out here, we can start inviting folks, can't we? Then we can do our part to make sure we're inviting folks to the revival meeting. We put the flyers out there. We've made them available for you to pick up. Participate in the revival by inviting before the revival even takes place. What's another way you can participate? You can attend the services. And I hope that you'll set aside that week on your calendar, on your schedule, to be here. Our evangelist, I know he's excited to be here. He's looking forward to it. We're praying, and our prayers are connected with him as well. We want to pray for him, that God would give him the messages that he wants us to bring. So we're praying. We're excited about him coming, but we need to attend the meeting, don't we? We need to make sure we're here all day Sunday, and set aside Monday, and set aside Tuesday, and set aside Wednesday to be here, attend the meeting. But then how about involvement? Now, number one, under involvement, you're going to say, well, that's pretty simple, but bring your Bible, right? Be involved in that way. Bring your Bible. And make sure as you're bringing your Bible, you're prepared, because you didn't just bring your Bible, but when you opened it up, you've also brought an open heart. You brought an open heart to listen to the preaching of God's Word. And then, when you've opened up your Bible and you've had an open heart, then get to the place where you obey the Holy Spirit as He prompts you. Obey the Holy Spirit as He helps to call your mind to decisions that you need to make. Obey the Holy Spirit in the altar call, in the invitation that we give you, again, as we talked about this morning, to respond to how God has revealed Himself to you. God will reveal Himself to us if we're here in those meetings, and then we respond, don't we? Here's another way you can be involved in the revival meeting. We want to be a blessing to the evangelist, so be prepared to give. Be prepared to give. As a church, we'd like to financially be a blessing to this evangelist that's coming in. Hey, let's be prepared to give. Maybe even now asking God what He would place on your heart to be able to give so that the evangelist can be taken care of while he's here. We want to be a blessing to him financially. And then how about this? Another way that you can be involved in the meeting is just through your fellowship, being an encouragement to other Christians that are going to be here during the meeting. But let's, in our fellowship, be an encouragement to our evangelist that's coming in. And let it be said of our church that when the evangelist is here, we're encouraging him. And we're lifting him up. We're trying to encourage him and let him know how excited we are to have him here and how great of a blessing he is while he's here. Let's encourage each other with our fellowship, but let's encourage the evangelist as well. And then the last word I want us to look at tonight is this. We've got the determination, and we've got the anticipation, and the preparation, and the participation of ourselves. But then we're going to turn back to Psalm. We're going to turn here to Psalm 86 one more time. Psalm 85, I'm sorry. One more time. And I want to look at the last word, word number five, expectation. Expectation. What, when it comes to revival, what do you expect God to do? What do you expect from a revival meeting? Individually now in your heart, what are you expecting? You're hearing this is coming up. You know the meetings are coming up. And we're anticipating it. We're looking forward to it. We're excited about it. I can see you now. You're going to be tossing in your bed all night long, right? As we talked about the illustration there. Looking forward to it, right? We're looking forward to it. But what are you expecting at the end of the week for God to do? Look at what the Bible says happens here in Psalm 85. We'll start with verse number 7. It says this, "Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation." Look at some of the blessings. He says, "I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land." Some things we can expect. Look at verse 10. "Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord will give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase." Have you noticed as we've been reading, as we started in verse number 7, the very blessings that we can expect from God upon us individually, upon our land, upon our church? Look at verse 13. "Righteousness shall go before him and shall set us in the way of his steps." His divine guidance in our life. Think about the truths of what revival can bring. What is it that you're expecting God to do when it comes to revival in your heart? What are you expecting God to do? And I hope there's an expectation there. So I want you to consider tonight these steps of revival. Number one, as we're preparing now for revival, number one, a determination. Is there a determination in your heart to say, I admit I need revival, and I want to allow the Holy Spirit to work in my life the week of the meetings? Are you anticipating it? Do you believe it's possible? Are you looking forward to the meeting that is to come? Are you preparing your heart? We talked about some steps that we can take to prepare our hearts. Let's spend time praying. Let's spend time confessing sin and humbling ourselves so that when revival comes, we can experience a great revival from God. Are you willing to participate during the week of the meetings? Would you right now make a commitment to the Lord? Lord, I'm going to commit to you. I'm going to be there. It will encourage. We'll encourage one another with our attendance. I know it'll encourage my heart if you're here for the revival. It'll encourage the evangelist heart if you're here. So tonight, let's determine. I'm going to set aside those days. I'm going to clear things from my calendar that may have already been scheduled. I got a couple weeks now. I'm going to make sure I clear it. I'm going to make sure I'm there for the meeting and participating like I need to. And then what do you expect from the revival? What are you expecting God to do when it comes to revival in your heart? Now, here's what I'd like us to do tonight. I'd like you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And here's what I'd like us to do tonight. I want us to spend some time here, a little season of prayer maybe perhaps, to